All right, we're kind of on a series a little bit that the Lord laid on my heart about how about the devil hates us. I don't know about you, but sometimes it just feels that way, doesn't it? And that's good. We looked at that last week. So we're kind of covering some foundational things about some ideas in the Bible that God gave us, and they're really not ideas, they're some of them's commandments. But as we look at this today, we're going to look at part two of The Devil Hates Me. Now, some of you work in different places and some are in customer service, but have you ever been yelled at or maybe spoken evil of because you were caught in the middle of something? You know, maybe you worked at a place and a customer had a real beef with your employer and they took it out on you. And these things happen. It does. It just depends how we respond to those things. Now, you and I are caught right in the middle of something right now. And that's a battle that's going on between God and the devil. You know, Satan's mad at our employer and he's trying to take it out on us. You know, Satan thought he was as good as God and God kicked him out of heaven and threw him down. And, you know, now we're God's creation. We're the apple of his eye. So it's only natural that you and I would draw a little bit of flack from the enemy. Now, Jesus, what I like about it is he made us his representatives here on this earth. And he's given us the power to execute a document. And that document is the Bible. Now, that's why the devil hates us so much, is because only Christians can use the name of Jesus. And today we're going to look at that name, which is above every name. Now, we looked last week at the blood of Christ. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. And that's some foundational truth that every believer needs to get down in their spirit and in their mind so they understand what the blood of Jesus is for and also what it can do in our life today. And today we're going to look at something that I believe we take for granted, and that's the name of Jesus. Scripture we're going to start with today, and I'm doing this is kind of some topical messages. I haven't really done any topical sermons for a year or so. But so we have a lot of information to cover, and that just means that's code for, hang on, we're going to try to get through this as quick as we can, amen? John 16, 23 and 24 says, in that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, I will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the gifts that you've given to your church. And Lord, we thank you so much for the Son of God that came and gave his life for you and for all of us, and that you have made that plan, that he did that as a substitute. Right now, Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside him. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate, and we take authority over Satan from trying to steal the Word of God out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first point I want to look at today is the idea of a power of attorney. Now, some of you are maybe familiar with this, that you've maybe been put as a power of attorney, maybe in some of your family dealings and things like this. And with that, the power of attorney gives someone the right to act on behalf of someone else. And when you have that right, then you can sign documents and you can execute things on behalf of that person because they have given you that authority. Now, Jesus revealed something to his followers here that he had not ever showed them yet, and that's the idea of coming to God, the Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, what we sometimes do, maybe you don't do it, maybe because you're a lot more spiritual than I am, but sometimes we can just say, oh yeah, in Jesus' name. You know what I mean? We just kind of throw it on there as an add-on, and it's kind of a closure. That means we can go on to the next thing. But see, we sometimes forget the power, and that's what we need to understand, because when we remember the power, it gives us an opportunity to release the power that God has given us to use while we're down here upon this earth. Now, I will say this as a disclaimer. If you're driving down the road and you're almost ready to get in a car wreck and you see it coming and all you can get out is, God help me, and you've left the Jesus name off, I don't believe God's going to be up there saying, you didn't put the name of Jesus on it. No, I don't think he's like that. You know, I think he's a little nicer than that. I believe he's a whole lot nicer than that. But we do know that as Christians, that we should try to comply and follow God's plan and his standard. Now, the reason why we use the name of Jesus there is the fact that only through Jesus, and we have to remember that, it's our only access to the Father. Now, the good news is we have all access all the time. Anytime we want to, we can go to the Father. We don't have to wait for Sunday. We don't have to wait for a special event or special something going on. But we can come to the Father through Jesus Christ anytime we want. And that's the price that Jesus paid. Now, to use his name, I like to have us line up with the Word. I think it's good to have a little bit of a working knowledge on what the Word of God says so we don't ask for something that we're really not supposed to ask for. And so it's good to kind of have a little knowledge of the Word of God. And I will say this, that it grieves, I think, the Father and the Son when we use the name of Jesus in vain. Amen. You know, I remember I do this. Now, you can do whatever you want. But when I'm out with people and they say, you know, Jesus and Christ in a wrong connotation, I usually say, is Lord. And then they'll look at me. Huh? Well, I said, you said Jesus Christ. And I said, he is Lord. I thought we was just stating a fact here. You know, after doing that a couple times, they'll quit doing it. They may get irritated at you. They get mad at you. But I'll tell you what, it's wrong to take the Lord's name in vain because there's something special about that name. And that's the name of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, gives us the idea that we are to go in his power. Now, a lot of Christians, I think, walk on this earth and they feel powerless against the enemy. They just feel that they don't have any go in them or whatever, and they can't really stand and fight the good fight of faith, whatever the case may be. They feel like they're all alone out there. But Jesus told us in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, he says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, now, this is after he rose from the dead, and he was wanting to, you know, he's getting ready to head to heaven, you know, so in the last little bit of his ministry there, he's wanting to get some revelation to his followers. He says, all authority, that's just not part of the authority, it's all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That about covers everything, right? At least everything we need to know about. So all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and earth. Then he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here we see we're not alone. He's with us every step of the way. And he told us to go, and he told us to do things. See, the reason why a lot of times we don't feel that we have any power, why do you need power? We don't need power sitting around watching Christian TV. Amen? Amen? You know, I like Christian TV. I watch it. And I do it because it feeds me. But if we think we need power just to watch TV, or to maybe come and do things like that, that's not what power's for. Power's to go out. It's to go and do things. That's why we need the power. And I know in my life, when I'm not experiencing the power, it's because I don't need the power. So I like to put myself in a position to need the power. And when I do that, then I start to see the power start to show up. So the only reason that you and I need the power or we need the authority is when you and I accept the responsibility. That puts us in position to be able to tap into that flow. And then the Holy Ghost shows up and we start to see things happen. You know, I know we feel the Holy Spirit when we worship, but there's other times that we can feel the presence of God and we're out ministering and doing things. Now, here, it just kind of reiterates again the power of attorney to exercise his will. And see, that's why it's important that we get to know a little bit about what the Word says. so that we understand, you know, what it is that we're supposed to be doing and how it is that we're supposed to be doing it. You know, when we're out doing it in the name of Jesus, it's as if He's doing the work. Now, some of you may work at different places. And let's say you worked at a place uptown and you worked there. And when you go out, you are representing that company. And that's why, you know, it's scary to be a boss, I think. When you hire somebody and you're putting them out there and they're carrying your name and they're speaking on behalf of you, you want to make sure that they're trained, that they know the parameters of what you're looking for, right? And it's only natural as believers, God wants us to line up because we are speaking on behalf of Him. Now, the next scripture I want to look at is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 11. This is one that I mentioned last week, and I just threw it out there. Like I said, I really enjoy this scripture. Something rises up inside of me because, you know, I have this idea of Jesus that, you know, He's worthy. You know, call me crazy, you know. But I really think He deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be honored. And in Philippians chapter 2, 9 to 11, it points that out and says that. It says, "For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed upon Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, there's something about that name. Now, I want to kind of point this out a little bit different. You know, sometimes we as Christians believe, you know, and a lot of things are tied up in our relationship with God that it's in the name of Jesus. Amen? We do that, don't we? You know, and sometimes we emphasize the name of Jesus. But there was a lot of Jesuses back at this time. You know what Jesus is in the Hebrew? Yeshua. Joshua. A lot of parents had named their kids Joshua. So, in the name of Joshua? Is there power in that name? No, I think there's something more to this. That's why in this passage, it threw in there Jesus Christ. Now that brings a little more connotation to really what it is that we're looking for. Now when Jesus was born in the vicinity, He was called Jesus of Nazareth. Now I'll be honest, my own personal opinion, and this is my opinion, you know, it is a, you know, some cultures like naming their children Jesus or Jesus or something like that. I think that puts a lot of pressure on a kid. You know what I mean? You know, hey, you know, who you named after? Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, and then they're out there. You know, I just think it's a lot of pressure. I mean, I don't know. I just don't get into that so much. So, but, you know, He was born Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, that was the vicinity that He was born. But see, what the Father did when Jesus received His anointing, when He was baptized there and the Holy Ghost, the dove came upon Him, it kind of changed the dynamics. He was then called Jesus. Now, we just call it Jesus Christ. Now, Christ isn't His last name. You know, if He had a mailbox, it wouldn't, you know, go that way. No, Jesus Christ, the word Christ has a different meaning. See, He is Jesus the Christ. And that means something a little bit different. Jesus the Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. It means anointed. So Jesus, and what that's talking about, is that Jesus, the anointed, or to a Jew, that would mean Jesus, the Messiah, or deliverer, the one they had been waiting for hundreds of years to come and to deliver them. So that's the name that's above every name, is the fact of the office that Jesus Christ held. What He was the deliverer. Well, what do you need delivered from today? He's your deliverer. He's the one that can set you free. And see, when we understand the idea and the concept of everything that Jesus Christ has and what He came for, then it puts a little more of a twist on it. So hopefully we can tap a little bit deeper into His power. Now, what I like about this, as I mentioned, is that we can bow now, or we can bow later, but we will bow. Amen. And that just gets me excited. You know, I to me, bowing is a form of surrender or submission to somebody greater. And that is my concept of Jesus. Jesus is my Savior, but He's more than that to me because He is my Lord. You know, it's one thing for somebody to save you, but it's another thing when you take that deeper step and you acknowledge that He is greater than I, and I submit and I surrender my life to Him. And that puts us into a different space in where I think God wants us as we walk. Because what I feel like that is, whenever knee bows, it's reminding the devil who's boss. Now, what I like about it, every knee will bow to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And like I mentioned, Jesus is going to finally get that honor. When He came the first time as a lamb, I mean, no respect at all for the most part. Now, He did get some, but He was beaten, He was spit upon, you know, ripped to shreds, nailed to a cross, you know, and He was called an illegitimate child, you know, because His mom got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when they lived in that town, and all of a sudden, even though Mary was betrothed to Joseph, that she became pregnant, and Joseph said, "Hey, it's not my kid. You know, we've never, you know." So everybody calls Him illegitimate. You know, so no respect at all. But when He comes back again, He's not coming as a little lamb. He's coming as a mighty lion. And He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's why He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it says every knee is going to bow on heaven, earth, and even under the earth. Those have already dead. Everybody's going to bow. And in my mind's eye, this is what I like, is I see Jesus standing there, and all around Him in every direction, multitudes of people down on their knee, bowing to the King of Kings. That's who I follow. I follow a leader who is the greater one. And that makes me excited. And I see all these leaders. I can see all the leaders of all these religions with their knee bowed to Jesus Christ. And that's who we follow. We're not following some religion. We're following a person. The person of Jesus Christ. And as we submit to Him and follow Him, then we start to understand this concept gets a little bit deeper. Which leads me to my next scripture, which is in Acts chapter 4, verse 5 to 12. It's kind of a mouthful. I went to 7 to 12, so it's Acts 7 to 12, excuse me. And it says, "When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire." And this is the Pharisees coming to Peter and the disciples because they had done something, you know, that really kind of irritated them. When they healed somebody who had been sick their whole life or lame their whole life. Could you imagine? Amen. So they said, "By what power and what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to this sick man, then how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man stands here before you in good health. He is a stone which you was rejected by you, the builders which became the chief cornerstone." And here's a key scripture for us. "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved." So, a little more power in the name of Jesus. As I mentioned, there was a man who was sitting by the gate begging for money. You know, he couldn't take care of himself, couldn't support himself, couldn't feed himself. So in that culture, it was very common to give alms to the poor. And they would sit there at the temple or, you know, at the gates where he was. And you know, people, you know, would be moved, you know, by God to help them. And sometimes they was wanting God to see what they were doing. You know what I'm saying? You know, "Hey, I just helped this guy down there and I gave him some money. Look at me." Well, anyway, Peter came on the scene full of the Holy Ghost. He walked up there and came. The guy says, "Hey, you got any money?" Peter said, hey, I'm a little short today. You know, how many's ever had more month than money? I think we all have, once or twice. But what Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Lifted him by the hand, pulled him up, healed. Well, you'd think everybody would like that kind of deal. I mean, that's better than the healthcare system that we're trying to do today. Amen? But no. The religious people, they didn't like it. Because these guys were unlearned men that said. They hadn't been trained properly. They didn't know everything that the Pharisees knew and the religious leaders. But here and that's why the Pharisees came and says, by what name or whose authority do you do this? See, we're the church. We're the ones who rule things. And I know you didn't do it by our authority because we wouldn't heal like that, especially, you know, we don't have that kind of power. So who are you doing this by? Well, you know, that then, you know, Peter and James, they had to straighten it all out and tell them. And they said, you know, it's by the name of Jesus. You know, that guy you killed? The one that you said was nobody? Was nothing? That you had crucified? The one you said his blood is on us, put the blood on us, and then rose from the dead? Yeah, that guy. That's the power we have. Well, then they knew they couldn't handle the situation. Because it's hard to deny a fact when somebody who is lame, never walked, all of a sudden everybody in town sees him walking around healed. Well, how do you deal with a situation like that? So the Pharisees come and talk to him and said, hey, we're commanding you to no longer speak or teach in his name. What would you do? Well, Peter said, well, you know, guy's got to do what a guy's got to do, you know. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to preach about Jesus. Because what happens is that faith always embarrasses fear. And that's something we have to remember. And you're going to be persecuted sometimes by people you think are Christians. Because you make a stand of faith and you go around telling people how big your God is and what your God can do. And they're back there telling you, no, God can't do that. We don't have a God that has that much power. You're going to receive a little bit of grief. But that's okay. You're going to receive some grief. Because faith always shows up fear. And that's what happened to the religious people of this time. You know, they just got all freaked out because they couldn't handle it no more. Because I don't know about you, but the religious people that day found out that they had been building on sand and not on solid rock because Jesus is the rock. And that totally broke down everything that they had. So Peter said, hey, just can't help myself. Got to do it anyway. Excuse me, got to do it anyway. Now the last scripture I want to look at is found in Acts chapter 19. Now this is another one of my fun stories I enjoy. A lot of good ones in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 16, talks about the power to deliver in his name. Now, this is going to be talking about dealing with the devil directly. Now, some of us deal with the devil indirectly, right? He's back there behind the scenes kind of manipulating and kind of controlling some things. And, you know, we just kind of deal with it that way. But here, this is talking about somebody that actually is demon-possessed. Now, I don't know if you've ever witnessed anything like that, but it is real. It does happen today. And I can tell you this without batting an eyelash, we have power to cast out demons. Amen? And they got to go because there's power in that name. We never have to be afraid of this situation. Now, we're going to look at some people that should have been, and they found out they were. So Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 16 says, but also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place, attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus. Well, they was pretty good right there. Then they said, whom Paul preaches. The seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be somewhat of an embarrassing situation. Seven on one turned to being one on seven. You know what I mean? And they went in there, all seven of them, think they're going to cast out that demon. And what happened? Now, I know I'm probably scaring some of you right now. But then the demon turned and beat them all up. But see, they had a problem. See, they had probably been out trying to do exorcisms. And all of a sudden, they had probably observed Paul in his dealings with devils. And they said, whoa, I like Paul's way better. It works. So they went out and they tried to mimic him and started to use the name of Jesus. But the problem was they weren't saved yet. They weren't Christians. They were still followers of the law. So that got them in a situation where it didn't work. Now, the name of Jesus, for lack of better understanding, doesn't work for unsaved people. And I know unsaved people can come and ask Jesus, you know, to save them, but this is a little different thing right here. They were trying to use the authority as one of the ambassadors, the power of attorney of Jesus, but yet they hadn't come into the relationship with Jesus. And that's a problem. There's no such thing as secondhand Christianity. Many people think they have that. You know, I don't. If I had a dollar for every time somebody, when I was witnessing to them, said, hey, my grandma is very spiritual. Oh, yeah? That's cool. What about you? Amen. You know, God doesn't have any grandchildren. I don't want to break it to anybody. God does not have one grandchild, not one. He only has children. So it's not way down the road there related to Jesus Christ by, you know, proximity or things like this. It's the fact that you have to have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are his ambassadors, and that's what I want us to see. Because what happens is the devil recognizes Jesus beyond a shadow of doubt. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. The Bible says, and I think it's 1 Corinthians, that if the Satan would have knew what was going to happen, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Because what Satan thought was victory turned into be his greatest defeat. Because the lamb that was slain, his blood was shed, and his innocence then rose him from the dead. So that just destroyed all Satan's power. Now, Jesus gave us the power of attorney. So that's what Paul was doing. If you read in the New Testament some of the things that Paul went out and done, I mean, like the one in Acts chapter 16, where the slave girl was there making a lot of money, fortune telling for her bosses. You know, she could, I mean, yes, the devil knows, like we went into this when we talked about curses. You know, the idea of familiar spirits and how they work and how they know things just because they've been around a while. Well, Paul cast that demon out and everybody got all mad. Because he broke their, you know, they wasn't going to make any more money off this girl. You know, because they broke the power of Satan. And see, that's what we do as believers. You know, we're Jesus' ambassadors. And we speak in his name. And Satan's been defeated, but he doesn't want to let go. So he's holding people in bondage. And we are his ambassadors supposed to go out and preaching the good news, saying in the name of Jesus, you can be free. Not in the name of any other self-help seminar or revelation that you may think you can get. It's only through the name of Jesus and the love that Jesus Christ has for us that he paid that price. And then he gave us that power to go forth in his name. So when they recognized Jesus because he had conquered him, then they knew about Paul. Because Paul, like I said, was walking in that authority, the authority of a believer. Now, I don't like to give the devil credit, but I will give him credit for this question. You know, I mean, he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a murderer. Other than that, he's a pretty good guy, right? But the devil did ask a very good question. When he turned, when the devil inside of him, that man, turned and looked at the seven sons of Sceva and said, Jesus, Paul, but who are you? Who are you? Satan only recognizes authority. He will only recognize authority. And that's why we as believers have that authority. And we need to remember that authority. Now, our efforts are meaningless and without power unless we have the name of Jesus. This is a foundational truth in the church that many times we just take for granted. And we make it that little add-on thing. So to me, the name of Jesus is more than that thing that we add on at a prayer. It's a name that has all authority because Jesus is behind it himself and he has given that a power of eternity. There's salvation in no other name. We can't entertain any other ideas about salvation. And we need to remember who we are and of whom we speak, because it's a sacred honor to represent our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. We're going to do something today. We're going to sing a song, or at least move our lips. Amen. That I picked, and it talks about the power in the name of Jesus. And I want you just to, think about the words of that song and what it means, and hopefully it'll bring a deeper revelation to you. And we just want to open up the altar if you feel like you need special prayer, or maybe you need to surrender your life in a deeper way to Jesus Christ. I encourage you to come up, and we're going to pray for you today if that witnesses to your heart.